Jesus said, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins."
Now, back in May, Tearfund published a survey that showed that 1 in 20 adults started to pray during the first lockdown, despite not praying before. Just over one quarter, 26% of respondents said that they prayed at least once a month. And of those people, 45% said they prayed because they believed in God, 33% because they believed that prayer made a difference, 26% said they prayed in times of tragedy or personal crisis, and 24% used prayer for personal comfort and to ease loneliness. You see, made in God's image, human beings, we have an awareness of God. So Navy chaplain Maurice Wood observed of the Second World War D-Day landings, the largest amphibious invasion in military history, where so many lives were at stake, that there were no atheists among the soldiers or crew. Everyone prayed. But how we pray will depend on what we believe about God. So Muslims pray ritual prayers 5 times a day to a distant judge. Jews wait on their God for a Messiah. Hindus pray to 33 million deities, depending on what they want. Buddhists meditate silently on their own inner being. And your average Brit prays in crisis to a God who may be out there. When Jesus, God's Son, entered our world 2,000 years ago, he revealed what the God who is there is truly like. And when he taught his followers how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, he firstly taught them about who God is, because how we pray will depend on what we believe about God. Now, I think it's clear that lockdown 3 has been pretty grim for many of us. Many have struggled. Whilst we're hopeful of vaccinations, we long for normal human contact. We're concerned about virus variants. We're trying to cope with homeschooling and now maybe just getting through half term in one piece, keeping financially afloat, concerns for the health of loved ones or our own health. We're tired of restrictions and we're being told not to book holidays. And all this can really affect us, and it can affect how we think of and relate to God. We can so easily drift and become distant from God and prayerless. There can be a kind of godless cynicism that can creep in that wonders if prayer makes any difference. Or we can dull our spiritual appetite by indulging in what comes easiest. Maybe for you that's kind of binging on Netflix or on box sets. Or we can simply become self-absorbed in coping, disengaged from the priorities of God's kingdom. If you're a Christian here this morning, if that's you, here is good and life-giving news. At the heart of our spiritual drift is that we are at a kind of a practical, everyday, lived experience level. We forget who God really is in the busyness or the loneliness, in the down days or the average days, in your work and home life, in the uncertainty of these days emerging from this global pandemic. You need to let Jesus remind you of who the living God is. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus says this: "This then is how you should pray." And what he says next, it may be very familiar to many of us, but it is nothing less than utterly shocking. It is so brilliant. You would never, ever say it unless Jesus, the Son of God, told us to. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven." In these words that begin the famous Lord's Prayer, Jesus tells his disciples how to relate to God, how to speak to him. And through this week of prayer, we're going to very briefly shape each prayer time on a phrase of this prayer. But this morning, just four words on how to pray. Our Father in heaven. Except actually, we're going to spend the vast majority of our time on just two words. Our Father. So firstly, you pray to God your Father. You pray to God your Father. See, back in Jesus' day, God was normally addressed expressing his greatness. Almighty Creator, everlasting, faithful, gracious, and most high God, Holy Judge, merciful Provider, Redeemer, and Supreme King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's a great way to start a prayer. I mean, those are all things that are true about God. And yet the word Father here, in the original Greek, it is an intimate, affectionate term, like a child talking to dad. See, back in the Old Testament, God is called Father, but it wasn't commonly used. And now here Jesus makes this familiar term the primary way believers are to relate to and to see their relationship with God. Our Father. Now, each of us have had different and have different relationships with our dads. Some good, some bad. None of us have had perfect dads. None of us are perfect dads. And there's the pain of losing your dad. And so it's really easy to let our understanding of God's fatherhood be shaped by our experience of our human fathers. And the good news here is that the fatherhood of the idea of fatherhood comes not from our human fathers, but from God himself. Every human father is meant to reflect him as the Father. So turn with me to Psalm 68. If you've got a Bible, just flick back to Psalm 68 and verses 4 to 6. Psalm 68. And we see, first of all, in verse 4 here, that God is great. Sing to God, sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord. Now, there you've got the infinite greatness of God. And yet he relates intimately to the broken. Look at verse 5. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. So, if you're a Christian, remember, God has set you in his family. And in the middle of lockdown 3, as we sit at Jesus' feet this morning with the disciples being taught how to pray, remember, God is your Father. Now, there's, of course, a general sense in which God is the Father of all mankind. He's our creator. But there's something more wonderful going on here when Jesus tells believers to call God our Father. Family dynamics can be all sorts of things. They can be odd, they can be toxic, they can be funny, they can be exhausting, they can be refreshing, they can be crazy or dull or restoring, they can be loving, they can be a whole load of things. The family dynamic, when Jesus says to believers, this then is how you should pray, our Father in heaven, are almost beyond belief amazing. Here's the second thing this morning. You pray to God your Father with your elder brother and the rest of the family. With your elder brother and the rest of the family. Now, what on the earth are we talking about? Who is our elder brother and who is the rest of the family? Well, if you're a Christian, Jesus is your elder brother. And the rest of the family are other Christian believers. Now, maybe this is beginning to weird you out. It does sound a bit strange, doesn't it? But think of this. The Bible says that whilst Jesus became human in first century Palestine, he has always been the eternal Son of God. So just before Jesus went to the cross, Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. He said this, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection was God the Father sending his eternal Son into the world to save his people, paying the penalty for their sin on the cross so that we can come home to the Father. We can be reconciled to the Father. But for all eternity past, in heaven, God the Father and Jesus the Son had always enjoyed this Father-Son relationship. There was a family dynamic here. It was literally, is literally divine. Full of joy, delighting in each other, in their glorious presence. This was an eternal, happy family, and God could have stayed like that forever. Now, we're delving here into things that are beyond us to fully grasp. But at some point, in eternity past, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the one true God, chose to create the universe and chose to create people made in the image of God to be children of God, who would be saved by God's grace, who would be adopted into this happy, divine family. And to share and to display divine love. It's extraordinary. And so Jesus, the Son of God, will become human, the God-man, to save his children from their sin and the eternal death and hell that they deserve as Jesus goes to the cross and dies in our place. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, put it like this. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, God should make the pioneer of their salvation, that's Jesus, perfect through what he suffered. And then it says that Jesus is not ashamed to call believers brothers and sisters. Or in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says about believers, those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son in order that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brothers. Can you see Jesus, the elder brother, the firstborn? So turn to Jesus for salvation, and he becomes your elder brother spiritually. And Christians become fellow adopted brothers and sisters. So this week, in lockdown 3, with all its frustrations and exhaustion and sadness and limitations, as well as its opportunities and so many things to be thankful for, Jesus stands before believers as our elder brother, and he says this to us. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. He, the original, eternal Son of God, is saying to you as a believer today, in every circumstance, remember that you're adopted into the family of God worldwide. You're now also sons and daughters of the eternal God. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray to our Father, to my Father, to your Father. I went to the cross so you could be forgiven of all of your sins. You could be adopted into our eternal family. Let's pray to our Father. Let's tell Dad. Is that amazing? That is what Jesus is saying in these verses here. Who would have thought that we could ever relate to God so intimately as Jesus does? As our Dad. Oh, if only we could remember just these two words, our Father. If only we could let their significance just filter into our everyday lives, we'd be so blessed. Prayer would come so much more naturally to us. Well, at least two things from the context here that grasping these two words, our Father, will mean. Firstly, this. We'll seek him. We'll seek him. It's there in verse 5 and 6. And just notice what we learn here about our Father. Verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, Jesus is talking here of seeking two very different rewards. Firstly, there's those who showcase their prayers for other people to be impressed. And this is so easy to do, isn't it? To kind of slip into conversation, the kind of three-hour quiet time that you had starting at 3:30 on Saturday morning when the sluggards in your household were laying in. No, I'm joking. No, seriously. I mean, this is actually quite easy to do. You know, you're in a prayer time and you're praying, and it's easy to be motivated by what others are thinking of your praying or of you. Seeking the reward of others' approval. If we grasp that we're coming to our Father, where Jesus says, look, there's a greater and an appropriate reward to be seeking as we do that. Now, of course, Jesus is not discouraging praying with others here or praying in public. But he is saying, our private prayer is hugely telling on whether we really actually believe this, that God is our Father whether we've grasped that. The Scottish pastor Robert Murray McShane famously and very searchingly once said this: what a man is on his knees before God, that he is, and nothing more. What a man is on his knees before God, that he is, and nothing more. So what's the reward in verse 6? So you're in your room, your private place, maybe for you that's your whole house. Maybe it's a walk in the woods. Maybe it's a drive in the car. Or maybe it's a time before the children wake up or after they've gone to sleep. Or maybe it's laying in bed at night. Or maybe it's a kind of incidental moment alone in the day. What are the places where, metaphorically speaking, you close the door on the world and you're alone to seek God, your Father, just you and him? What is the reward there in that secret place? It's not the praise of others, because there's no one else there. It's just you and your Father. You know, the reward that Jesus promises here, it's your Father himself. He is the reward. The reward that Jesus promises is Father, as we seek him. And as we seek him, we will find him. We'll enjoy him. Let me encourage you with some Bible verses on seeking your Father, seeking God. Psalm 14, verse 2. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. And this is for all of us, but particularly if you're someone who's not a Christian or not sure if you're a Christian. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. And let them turn to the Lord, and he'll have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Claim that promise. Stand on that promise. Seek him. Or Lamentations 3, verse 25. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Grasp these two words: our Father, and you'll seek him like a child who craves time with their parents. And he'll reward you with more of himself. He's never too busy for you to get to know him, but he's grieved when we are, and we're too busy. So we'll seek him. But secondly, grasping these two words, our Father, will mean we'll trust him. We'll trust him. Look at verse 7 and 8. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. It's important to say that Jesus is not knocking long prayers here. He's not advocating short prayers. It's good to spend a length of time in prayer with God. And neither is he saying that we shouldn't repeat ourselves in prayer, or that we shouldn't repeat what someone else has just prayed in a prayer meeting. We all say things differently. You know, the prayers of the Psalms are full of repetition. Jesus prayed the same prayer three times in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is warning here against trusting the length and the quality of our prayers instead of trusting our Father. What are the joys, I wonder? What are the sorrows that are filling your prayers right now? I think sometimes, if I'm honest, I'm like a little kid pestering my parents for sweets in my prayers. That my prayers are centered around my life being sweeter, more comfortable, reaching my goals, good health. And don't get me wrong, for sure, we're invited to pray all sorts of prayers. And God can cope with that. But it's interesting that this word Father that Jesus uses here was not only used in Jesus' day for the way that a little child relates to their dad, but also how an adult child relates to their dad. And part of growing up into adulthood as a mature Christian and relating to God as our Father, as a mature believer, is that our prayers become less about pestering God for sweets, a sweet life, and more shaped by a kind of adult trust in him, that he, our Father, knows what we need before we ask him. So as you head into a brand new week, know that your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And it may well be different from what you want. Often I find that it is. You pray. Pray about that godless cynicism that creeps in, that wonders if prayer makes any difference. Bring that to God. Pray about the ways that you dull your spiritual appetite by indulging in what comes easiest to you. Bring that to him, your dad. Pray about the ways you get self-absorbed in coping and lose sight of the priorities of his kingdom. Bring that to him, your dad. And know that he, your Father, knows what you need before you ask him. You can trust him. Pray. Pray when you feel overwhelmed, when you're missing people, when you're worried, when you're hopeful, when you're struggling to cope, when you're wondering how you're going to get through the day in one piece, when you're exhausted, when you're busy, when you're lonely, at home, at work, when just faced with the uncertainty and that's overwhelming, when you're frustrated, when you're sad, when you're thankful. And know this, that your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And know this, that in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, we're told that God, who did not spare his own son, Jesus, your elder brother, who teaches us here to say, our Father, this God, our Father, gave him, Jesus the Son, gave him up for us all. And if he's done that, how will he not, along with him, also graciously give us all things? Our Father gave his eternal son, our elder brother Jesus, for our salvation and for our inclusion into this eternal divine family. So let's trust him as we pray. He knows what we need. And not only that, really very briefly as we close, take heart from where God is. We pray to God in heaven. We pray to God in heaven. Matthew 6, verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. In calling God our Father, it speaks of intimacy. It speaks of friendship. But God is not our pal. There is to be nothing casual about how we relate to God. He's not my mate. Christian, he is your Father in heaven. And at this very moment, if we could rip a gap in that thin veil between the material realm and the spiritual realm, what we would see there would be so overwhelming that unless God protected us, we would die. We would see billions and billions of powerful spiritual beings, angels and believers who've died, believers from all history, bowing before our Father in heaven, awestruck in worship, sometimes in deafening silence, at other times in thunderous, unstoppable praise. Christian, you pray to your Father in heaven. Psalm 2, verses 4 and 5. We might look around us and think, well, people aren't acknowledging our Father in heaven. And Psalm 2, 4 and 5 says, the one enthroned in heaven, he sees that and he laughs at people because it's so ridiculous that people reject him. He laughs at the folly and he rebukes them in his anger and he terrifies them in his wrath. Christian, he is your Father in heaven. Or Isaiah 40, verse 22, figuratively speaking, says that God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers before him. Christian, he is your Father in heaven. I mean, talk about my dad's bigger than your dad. Here's how to pray. If you're a Christian, understand this. Try and grasp this. It is utterly shocking and yet it's so brilliant. This family dynamic that you are part of. Pray to God, your Father. And you do that with Jesus, your elder brother, who's made that family possible, who's brought that family into being through his death and his resurrection and the sending of his Spirit. And you pray with him, your elder brother, as he says, come on, let's pray to Dad. You do that with the rest of the family, Christian believers from around the world. Seek him. Seek him as your reward. And trust him. Trust him because he knows what you need. He is God, our Father in heaven.